Hello, everyone. It's my great pleasure to be able to speak with Larry Sanger today, who I don't need to give any introduction for, because I'm sure you already know who he is. But for anyone who doesn't know, he's one of the co-founders of Wikipedia. And I know he likes to be called an ex-co-founder, so I'll just mention that. So I thought today, and I've been meaning to do this for a while, to actually take a look at the BitChute Wikipedia page, because there's a lot there to look at, and I couldn't think of a more perfect person than Larry Sanger to go through the Wikipedia page with. So welcome Larry, and thanks for agreeing to doing this with us.
For sure Ray, I appreciate the invitation, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. So what I'm planning to do is just go through the Wikipedia page from the top down, read a little bit, give my thoughts on it, and then ask you for your thoughts. So if we do that, and we can hopefully get through it and see what comes out.
Sounds good.
Okay, so here I've got it in front of me. BitChute's Wikipedia page. So it starts with, in the first block they put up, and the first few sentences, paragraph, it says BitChute is an alt tech video hosting service launched by Ray Vahi in January 2017. So already I've got to stop, because the alt tech label is not something that we call ourselves. Other people have called us that. You know, I didn't actually mind it too much when I always used to think, what logically could it mean? And I thought, okay, it means alternative technology. That's what, you know, came to my mind when I first heard it. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, it doesn't. They say it's a mixture of alt-right and big tech. And they actually say quite bad things about it. So it's not a nice thing, according to Wikipedia, to have in your first sentence. The other part is, I just mentioned this quickly, this part, first sentence. They say, by Ray Vahi in January 2017. And actually, that's not the case. And they elaborate further down and say it was registered by Ray Vahi in 2017. So no, it wasn't. It was registered in February, on February 24th, 2017. So off the bat, we've got a, in my opinion, sloppy mistake, because actually the source that they quote for that is Companies House, which is the correct source, in my opinion, which is in where we registered it originally was the UK, and Companies House is the public registry for all that information. So it's just sloppy to get the date wrong when they've got the source there, and someone just had to type that in correctly, in my opinion. And, you know, it's not like it's new information that's been around since February 24th, 2017. So what do you think about that off the bat, Larry?
Well, right out of the gate, there's some red flags. It's trying to set up a certain picture in the reader's mind about what BitChute is, that is very suggestive of being essentially like neo-Nazi or heavily anti-Semitic, something like that. That's what alt tech suggests, especially on a platform like Wikipedia, in the mouths of the establishment, essentially. It's not just alternative technology. So I agree with you there, actually. And good luck on getting the date changed from January 2017. If you say that it's something else, then you know, you can go on to the talk page and say, no, in fact, it is such and such. And they'll simply ignore you. Might even ban you for your trouble if you're not sufficiently respectful. The idea that it is, well, let's put it this way. Whenever it comes to describing a business, neutrally, one has to walk a fine line between their public impression, the impression of detractors, and the impression that the owners would like to be conveyed. It used to be that Wikipedia would have a certain kind of both sides-ism, is what they call it, but I'd simply call it neutrality. That's what neutrality meant. You know, you couldn't tell what the attitude toward it. Have we moved on to the second sentence there? I'm reading it, or just the first one.
Yeah, so I can read that out. It describes itself as offering freedom of speech, while a service is known for hosting far-right individuals, conspiracy theorists, and hate speech. In my opinion, if you're a pro-free speech, pro-free speech platform, then you're neutral, so you don't kick people off for their views, whether they're even if they're far right or far left. So I think that framing, in my opinion, is framing it as negligence rather than framing it as principled.
Or even more, encouragement. In other words, that they might be implying. In fact, if I were just reading this for the first time, I would assume that BitChute, in Wikipedia's opinion, is actually encouraging far-right individuals, conspiracy theorists, and hate speech. But in fact, there's a heck of a lot more of that on, like, YouTube, for example. I mean, there's orders of magnitude more of all three categories on YouTube, for sure. And of course, there's some YouTube stuff that is taken down right away. But there's the amount of stuff that can be described as far right by the lights of Wikipedia, or as conspiracy theorizing, or indeed as hate speech. The amount of stuff on YouTube is far greater. So what does it mean then to say that a BitChute is known for hosting? Well, I think all it really means is that it's described that way in some media reports. And here then what you would want to do is look at the footnotes, right? The footnotes are going to be from various mainstream sources that they approve of. I'm seeing The Daily Dot, The Independent, BuzzFeed News, Business Insider, The Verge, Quartz, The Guardian, The Times. So all of these sources are representing what I would call a center-left or left-wing establishment view. And what that means, in effect, is that when journalists write about a free speech platform like BitChute, it means that they see it as being their job to tell you what to think and how to feel about the platform, as opposed to more objectively describing what is actually on the platform. I use BitChute for a lot of things, and frankly, I have not seen very much in the way of far-right stuff. Seen some conspiracy theory stuff. That's just good sense at these days. Hate speech, I haven't seen much of that. But then I haven't looked for it either. If I weren't looking for those things on YouTube, I would find them there. So,
yeah, well, this is one of the things. You find what you look for. And a lot of people, you know, they're not looking for controversial content, and they can find that on BitChute. But I'll go on to the next part. So some creators who use BitChute have been banned from YouTube. Some others cross-post content to both platforms or post more extreme content only to BitChute. Right. Okay, I mean, technically, you could say any platform that is of a certain size is going to have people who's banned from YouTube, but they've decided to put this in our first paragraph. And you know, and it's true, some creators do post content to YouTube and also post extra content to BitChute. People like Sticks Hexenhammer as an example, but I would not consider that extreme. I guess the person who wrote this, they have an opinion and they might consider anything extreme. I don't know what they consider extreme, but right. You know, that's their right to have an opinion. But I find it very interesting that they've put it in our first paragraph. I think, in my opinion, it's setting up the picture, as you've already described.
Right, right. I couldn't agree more. It's very problematic. BitChute is facing the same problem that actually it's probably millions of other individuals and businesses and movements and ideas and so forth are having on Wikipedia today. It's become a propaganda platform. And so we know then that, we are supposed to think of BitChute as merely a haven for far-right conspiracy theorists and hate speech, I guess.
And again, going back to the principal point, right. If we were to ban that, we could not claim to be a free speech platform. So, it's contradictions, in my opinion, in this all round. But I'll get on to the next one, because the next one's a good one, I think. Before its deprecation, BitChute claimed to use peer-to-peer WebTorrent technology for video distribution, though this was disputed. Now, so this one, I need to get into a bit of the history of this. So I believe we've got thousands of people, many people saw, we did actually deprecate WebTorrent, I'll say that. So that is true. And, other platforms have used peer-to-peer technology and deprecated it in the past. For example, Spotify is a good example, but it doesn't appear in their first paragraph of their Wikipedia page. But there's a very good way to check if BitChute used peer-to-peer technology. There's a site called archive.org that I know you've heard of, that I'm sure most people have heard of, which snapshots BitChute all the time and has done throughout its history. And you can actually load up, go back to 2018, 17, load up BitChute pages on archive.org, and you can right-click and view the source. I don't want to get too technical for the people at home, but that's just a way that you can see what makes the web page look and act and work the way it is. So you can do that right now, and you can scroll down and you can see the WebTorrent code is there. And you can also see in the UI, the elements for it are there. So you can see we've got like the upload bandwidth and we've got the download bandwidth indicator in the UI. So that should not be controversial. But the thing is, and I accept this,
right?
Anyone can dispute anything at any time. I could dispute right now that you're not Larry Sanger, and that would be ridiculous. But we could reasonably say that's under dispute right now. In my opinion, this is a bit silly, but I would go a step further. So when this article that is used as a source came out, I actually contacted the author and I wanted to give them evidence, and he wasn't receptive to what I wanted to say to him. And even more than that, I was booked onto a podcast. It was a podcast with a creator called Ethan Ralph. And he had told me that he'd also booked the author of this article. And I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to explaining what I've just explained to you and going through my side of the story. But unfortunately, he never did show up to that podcast. So here we are in 2025, and something that could be easily checked and confirmed from, I would say it's not a primary source, but it's nearly as good as a primary source to go to Wayback Machine and see that source code, is now marked in our first paragraph as disputed.
Right. It is a sign of real amateurism here that they would say this, because it's just an objective fact. Any programmer, and it don't even have to be a programmer, you just have to need to know how peer-to-peer technology works, how WebTorrent works, and it's necessarily easy to tell whether or not the claim of being peer-to-peer distributed is the case. It might have, you're absolutely right, it might have been disputed, but the fact that it was disputed was not a credit to the people who were disputing it. Who really cares if it is a provable fact? This actually goes to show one of the negative impacts of an important policy on Wikipedia. So Wikipedia has a strong requirement to use secondary sources in lieu of primary sources, which sounds quite backwards, doesn't it? There are some legitimate reasons for wanting to do this, but ultimately, as in this case, for sure, using the primary source sometimes is the only way to have a really credible resource. And when you're talking about something as fundamental as whether BitChute was using WebTorrent, well, it actually doesn't need a source at all, as far as I'm concerned. In other words, having a footnote on it is kind of silly, for the simple reason that if it's true, right? Let's put it this way. If there's a significant dispute over it, then that should be mentioned perhaps in a footnote. But if it's a fact that it used WebTorrent, then it's a fact. This is actually an instance of something where the fact that it is disputed doesn't hold any weight, because a primary source says or can be used to objectively establish the fact in question to anyone, any reasonable person's satisfaction, which is very different from, disputing about facts. There's a lot of disputing about facts on Wikipedia, by the way, and it's very legitimate disputing about facts. This is one of those cases where anyone who knows how the technology works can see that it is a fact. So, yeah, that's pretty bad. I have to agree. Yeah.
So, moving on. So again, the first section that they give us is history. And again, they say BitChute's corporate identity was registered in January 2017. So in my opinion, that sloppy mistake repeated twice. But what do I know? I just registered it.
Right.
Okay. They actually put something here that I think is a nice piece of information. It says, the name was conceived from a portmanteau of the words bit, a unit of information in computing, and parachute. You know, if it were me, I would think that would need to be up in the first paragraph, because I would think, okay, that's a question that a lot of people have asked me over the years. And, you know, maybe someone coming to Wikipedia for the first time might want to know what the name means. But they've stuffed it down lower. They thought the other stuff was more important at the top, I guess. And then it goes into, at the time of launch, Vahe described BitChute as an alternative to mainstream platforms. He believed that the platforms had demonstrated increased levels of censorship. Yeah, I did believe that. I said that. Over the previous 2 years, banning and demonetizing users, barring them from receiving advertising revenue. Again, no problems with that. I do believe that that is what happened accurately. And tweaking algorithms to send certain content into obscurity. So again, okay with that. In 2018, the creators of BitChute described themselves as a small team making a stand against internet censorship because we believe it is the right thing to do. Yeah, we were a very small team. It was just me and my partner Rich back then, and we had very little help. So we were just doing this as a garage project back in 2018. So I think most of that is okay. I'd probably like to see some of that move up, if anything.
No, I think that's right. I think Wikipedia is perfectly capable of writing individual sentences and whole paragraphs, even occasionally, that have few errors in terms of neutrality or even fact. So this etymology of the name is correct, then, that it's a portmanteau of bit and parachute. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So, moving along, again, just that's one sloppy mistake that I can't, I believe it's a sloppy mistake. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they know better than me when I registered the company.
Oh, right. Of course. That, yes.
Moving along.
I would think that would be also a matter of public record. I mean, isn't that
actually?
Yeah, if you do it just a Whois lookup, it will tell you when it was registered. And if you do that, it says that it's, didn't you say March 2016?
No, February 24th, 2017.
Oh, I see. February 24th.
Okay. It's a month out that they got wrong. But
I see.
So the next thing. There's information about us being banned from PayPal. I think we've generally covered this. I think they just tried to, banned from PayPal, mentioned that we would move our domains over to Epic, which we did in 2019, because we just thought that was a place where we could park our domain. We've used, so that's kind of interesting, I guess, because we've used many domain providers over the years. Right now we're using Cloudflare. Before that we used Namecheap. But I guess they only want to mention Epic because Epic is also in the category that they consider far right. So they just left out the other ones we used and put Epic only. But anyway, I think that's more of the point that you made about generally speaking, just wanting to label us as far right.
Right. Yeah. And if I may, in the second sentence, actually, in this paragraph that we're looking at now, it says, PayPal also banned Alex Jones, the Proud Boys, Tommy Robinson, and several anti-fascist groups and users at the same time, which is convenient for the narrative that they're pushing, because basically it suggests that you are allied with them, which is, sort of irrelevant and not necessarily the case. And besides, there's a real category mistake in lumping you with those guys. It might be the case that PayPal banned all of these operations at the same time. But BitChute is a platform, and those are individuals and groups of individuals. Whereas, basically a platform can, on principle, stand for free speech. But again, we're just repeating ourselves here, aren't we? So.
No, I agree with that exactly. I didn't even, you're right. It's associating us with individuals, which is interesting, to say the least.
Yes.
In January 2019, that's the epic one, sorry. In March 2020, a new provision to Germany's Network Enforcement Act required social media companies to report instances of hate speech on their platforms to authorities. However, online news platform Coda reported that while the law applies to platforms including YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, BitChute is one of the platforms not affected by the provision. I'll stop there. So I would say about this, so what? We don't lobby the German government. We don't have any say in setting these laws. Saying that a law exists in the world that does not apply to BitChute is, why are they saying that? And also, if you go into the source, Coda, they also mention other companies that this law does not apply to, along with BitChute. But I noted that it's not on those other companies' Wikipedia page. It's just been put on the BitChute Wikipedia page. So that's interesting. But again, so what? A law was written by the German government that doesn't apply to BitChute. But here's the thing, Larry. Actually, it's wrong. The source is wrong. Because even though it would have been more accurate to say some of the provisions of the law did not apply to BitChute, but actually some of them do apply to BitChute. So their source is wrong here in this case. I can tell you that. A few mistakes there. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting. It's badly written in the first place. It's not clear what the article means. So it's making a claim about the German law. BitChute is one of the platforms not affected by the provision. Well, I looked up the article while you were talking. I can read what it says here. It says, German officials say the rules have improved how digital platforms respond to illegal hate speech, which is a thing in Germany. While the new law covers YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, messaging services like Telegram, Discord, and other video and gaming platforms like BitChute and Steam are not included. So I think perhaps at the time Telegram was smaller and Discord might also have been, I'm not sure. It's also possible that they were not included because they are more messaging platforms. And perhaps the reason BitChute was not included was that it's simply a smaller platform. That's what I seem to recall from my reading about this law back then in 2020. Basically, the law only applied to larger platforms. These sorts of things could have been better explained, I suppose. You can cut Wikipedia a little break here because, they are amateurs and they never stopped being amateurs, except for the people who are actually paid by PR companies and feds and criminal organizations of all sorts to clean up images, essentially, which I think is what's going on, and manage narratives, which is what's going on your page. So.
All right. So let's move on to the next one.
Sure.
So this is as of January 2021, BitChute was in the process of being reported to Ofcom. For anyone who doesn't know, Ofcom is the Office of Communications, the UK regulator that had stepped into that role at that time, by Community Security Trust. After discovering Holocaust denial and Holocaust glorification content on the website, among other content considered harmful by the charity, such as conspiracy theories related to COVID-19, the Trust blog stated, "This will be an important test for Ofcom's new role regarding regulation of social media in the United Kingdom, especially concerning extremism and hateful content." Okay, stop there. It's true that Community Security Trust did make this report to Ofcom. Now, Ofcom contacted us. We agreed to engage with Ofcom. So we did that. We went through a period of engagement. At the end of the period of engagement, they didn't feel the need to start any enforcement action against us. And actually, the case was closed without any penalty or enforcement action or any wrongdoing being prescribed to us. So that is not actually mentioned here. But there is no report by Community Security Trust or any other news article. So perhaps that is the reason why only half the story is being told. But since 2021, we've had this, since this went up on our Wikipedia page, we've had this information there, which someone could be forgiven for reading this and thinking that there's still an ongoing investigation. But no, actually, it closed years ago, and we were not fined or anything for it. So during that time, we did actually make changes as a part of our engagement with Ofcom. But I would say those were not changes that were as a result of this report. Those were changes that we had to make because we were being regulated by Ofcom anyway. So any platform that was based in the UK at that time that was operating in the UK had to make changes to comply with that regulation at that time. And that was what we did as well. So I think in the next paragraph.
If I may ask you, this is very interesting to me, because it's fascinating to me how these sorts of things work. I'm surprised that they didn't come down hard on you, but I'm glad that they didn't. I would think, so first of all, was there ever any reporting about the closing of the case, or the failure to open a case by Ofcom?
So they didn't report on it, no. But we did receive a letter from them. It's not confidential, but we've got a letter from Ofcom at the end of it informing us that the period of engagement is over and they will not be taking it to enforcement action. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, it was a report, fair enough, but that's done.
Right. But the point is, if this had been reported, well, of course, it would have to be on some approved source. Nevertheless, but if it had been reported, then they could update the page here. Not that they would want to, but they could. I would think that the thing to do is to... if you haven't already, put a copy of the letter, if you can, on the BitChute blog. And then, just, again, 90% sure they're not going to do anything about it. But you can always try. You can go to the talk page of the BitChute article and say, look, we have documentary evidence that this suggestion never came to pass. It might have been reported to Ofcom, but no case was ever opened, and the whole matter was concluded without any action taken, which I would think important to put in the article. In fact, it should be, I would think, some reason, perhaps, to remove the sentence altogether. As it says, the Trust's blog states that this will be an important test case. Now, that's interesting because blogs are not supposed to be sources. And yet it's taken as a source in this case. In other words, the Wikipedia rules forbid the use of blogs. Now, it's ridiculous that they do. Like, if it's talking about BitChute, it should allow the BitChute blog to be cited in the article about BitChute. That's how the rules should operate. But it's, to the best of my knowledge, is not how they operate. So when I'm just trying to like give you some advice about how to deal with that particular situation. But I would say it's not over yet. You might actually be able to do something about that particular problem.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll just go to the next part. So this is in the same paragraph, is important to know. Also in January, BitChute added incitement to hatred to its list of prohibited content using the definition from the United Kingdom's Audiovisual Media Services Regulations 2020. Though Bellingcat wrote that following month that racist slurs, Nazi imagery and calls for violence against Jews remained common in video comment sections. So this is interesting to me that they mashed this all together. So for me, in my opinion, it seems like they're implying that the report caused us to have to add that to our UK terms only. So that's what we did, in fact. We didn't add it site-wide. We added it only to the UK and other territories that required that specific rule. So that's also misleading because we didn't add it to globally, which is, you know, what someone might think, in my opinion, if they read this. But I think mashing them together sort of also for me implies that there's a cause and action here. But again, I would insist that actually, because we remained in the UK, we had to do that like every other platform that remained in the UK had to do. These two things are not associated, in my opinion.
Right. I'm really kind of curious how this is supposed to work. So you say you added the rules because they were required by regulation to the UK, but on the UK, it was still possible to find racist slurs, Nazi imagery, et cetera, in the comment sections. Is that true?
This is also interesting because this set of regulation only applied to video content. It specifically did not apply to the comments.
I see.
So what we were doing from a technical standpoint on the videos was geo-restricting videos to the UK with a notice saying that this is geo-restricted because we're legally required in the UK to not provide this information. But it would still be available in the US and elsewhere where that restriction wasn't required. But the comments were not part of this regulation at all. So, things that are free speech, I mean, I don't have to say to you, but, you know, free speech is sometimes messy. You do have content that is, racist, it's slurs, and people, who believe in free speech believe that it's for the better of society that we're able to have that and have those messy conversations and tolerate views that even we despise. So, yeah, it's again, they're mashing all of this together, but not explaining it properly, that what the law actually did.
I see. Okay. Right. I mean, if the Okay, well, anyway, I think that pretty much answers my question. All right, good enough. Interesting.
Okay. Next one. In June 2023, Police Scotland launched an investigation into content published on BitChute that directed abuse and threats towards First Minister Hamza Yousaf. After receiving a complaint from his office, the content included several Red Ice videos featuring American white supremacist Lana Lokhtef, one of which called for Yousaf to go back to Pakistan. So here we go. So my first impression of reading this, well, the first time I read this, I confused it as, hang on, did they launch an investigation against us? Because that's what I read like three. But actually, if you read it more carefully, no, that wasn't the case. There was no police investigation actually against BitChute. It was against individuals, allegedly, on the BitChute platform. But interestingly, this content, which was on BitChute, which I believe still is on BitChute from Red Ice, is on many platforms. It's on X, it's on many other platforms, and with many more views than it received on BitChute. But it's not mentioned on those Wikipedia pages. It's mentioned on the BitChute Wikipedia page. But nothing, we were not contacted by Police Scotland. There was nothing else for us to do on this matter. So again, it's just put here as something that, you know, I think just to create more of an impression of what the author perhaps wants to say about BitChute.
Right. And here, you know, it in general, what this whole section about history is trying to do is to portray BitChute as a problematic player in the media space. That essentially its function is to host offensive and dangerous content, and it's a loose cannon essentially, and it might even, the implication occasionally is that as a corporate entity it actually supports this stuff. And it's definitely throughout, and you know, anyone who studies history knows that history is very difficult to write in a neutral way. It's supposed to be neutral, and if you're going to write it neutrally, then you would certainly want to represent BitChute's perspective along with other perspectives. But BitChute's perspective is not well represented in this section at all. There's very little, practically nothing, in fact, here about the fact that BitChute is self-consciously announced as being a free speech platform. And what does that entail? You know, even 15 years ago, and for the previous few generations, the idea of a free speech platform would have been well understood and not particularly offensive or even worth caring about. What happened, though, is in about 2015, the powers that be everywhere, especially I think coordinated to a certain extent anyway by the UN and other NGOs, that essentially there is a big problem with misinformation and with hate speech, essentially. And so practically overnight, it became a serious problem to the presence of free speech became a serious problem for these elite commentators and leaders. And the whole purpose of BitChute, as you said, and I believe it, that's why I'm involved as an advisor to the company. The whole point of BitChute is actually to push back against that. So there's something really kind of insidious about the history here. Because if you really want to tell the history, you actually have to begin before the beginning of BitChute. And you have to say, well, you know, the powers that be started turning the screws on content platforms and requiring them to shut down free speech, disapproved free speech. The bottom line is, from your point of view, from BitChute's point of view, is that there was not just an opportunity, but a need for a free speech platform as a result of that. And yet, basically, what the Wikipedia article is doing here is taking the side of the censors. So this perfectly illustrates why I say that Wikipedia has become an establishment mouthpiece.
I agree with that. That's my opinion too. And you're absolutely right. It's about holding power to account. Sometimes power doesn't want to be held to account. So we finished the history section, but I would like to, if you don't mind, mention a few things that, in light of the tone of this history that they've provided, might be relevant to our history, because they've gone into hate speech, they've gone into extremism. So BitChute has actually joined a UN NGO called Tech Against Terrorism. Huh. So we went through quite a lengthy process to get admitted into Tech Against Terrorism, because, you know, we want to be more efficient at taking terrorist content offline. We want to be better at that. We don't want to leave that sort of content up. But that, interestingly, you know, you might think that given the information that's there, that might also be interesting to someone to see on our history. And BitChute has also joined GIFCT, which is probably the global leading platform for fighting terrorism and extremist content. And that, I can tell you, is a very difficult application and lengthy application process. But if you go to the GIFCT website right now and you look at the members, you'll see amongst them, like Facebook, Meta, YouTube, X, and you'll see BitChute.
What's the second organization again? I didn't catch that.
GIFCT. GIFCT.
What does it stand for? Or what is it?
The Global Internet Forum for Counterterrorism.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So BitChute is also a member of that. So given exactly what they're talking about in our history and what they focused on in our history, do those things seem like they should be relevant to our history at all?
Sure. I would think that, again, what I would recommend, if you haven't done a press release or put something on the blog, that you do that and bring it to their attention. Of course, they're not going to do anything about it. Maybe also just try to get some tech reporter interested in it. Ultimately, that's the sort of thing that you have to do in order to get Wikipedia to notice salient facts. They're not going to put it into the article probably until it actually appears in one of their preferred sources, essentially. Sadly, that's how it works now. Shouldn't, but it does.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. I'm conscious of your time. So I think we said an hour, so I'll just go a bit longer. But
sure.
Since launching, BitChute has accommodated far right groups and individuals. They love using the far right moniker in our Wikipedia page. That's just used so much throughout. But you know, here we've already discussed this, but I want to mention one more thing. That Wayback Machine is also good for checking who were the guys who were on BitChute in the very early days. And, you know, the first people to come on board, I think far right is a very subjective term. Someone can consider anyone far right. But in my opinion, the guys on in the very early days were libertarian focused, maybe voluntarist. People like Corbett Report, people like Media Monarchy were about the first to sign up. And you can see back in 2017 in the Wayback Machine who was on the site at that time. I think it did shift to the right, in my opinion. I wouldn't argue against that because it just more right wingers were being deplatformed. But since launching, BitChute, in my opinion, was initially mostly full of libertarian people in the start. And again, you know, someone who's writing this, the author of this, could say, well, they consider libertarian people to be far right. I don't know.
Well, of course they're not. Although I would say that there are some extremists who call themselves libertarian, pedophiles, for example, have at least historically had a big voice among the libertarians, but whatever. It's a crying shame, really, what they've done here. It's also very predictable. The Southern Poverty Law Center itself has essentially drifted from being a respectable organization that fights really extreme racism to one that simply calls out conservatives and libertarians and smears them as hate speech or as extremists. So it is treated by Wikipedia and other mainstream sources as being the same old credible source that it was, but it really isn't anymore. The Southern Poverty Law Center has itself become basically another propaganda organization. It's a smear campaign. It's a center of smearing at this point. So it's not anything to be ashamed of, I think. And it might be true that the site has hosted some hateful material. And, well, that's a shame, I suppose. But on the other hand, if they have no other place to go, because the our betters have decided to outlaw free speech, then this means that ultimately BitChute is taking a principled stand, and is actually to be admired for that, not because it hosts hate speech. I hate those guys, block them whenever they pop up on X, for example, myself. Nevertheless, I never see it when I go on BitChute because of the algorithm. It's like it might as well not exist as far as I'm concerned. nevertheless, the fact that BitChute allows that sort of thing means that it is taking a principled stand against this sort of unfair smearing by Wikipedia and the Southern Poverty Law Center. And quite frankly, I'll just like add this, and because it's important to say, I have no doubt that a fairly large amount, not necessarily a majority, but I'm not sure, a large amount of the so-called hate speech that you can find on various free speech platforms online, now on X too, is actually generated automatically by AI as part of AstroTurf campaigns to essentially make it possible to smear free speech platforms. I can't prove this. Actually, I think I could prove it if you gave me time. But nevertheless, I think it is how it's how this sort of thing works now. In other words, in the same way that there's this famous picture of a group of very muscular, clean-shaven, crop-topped young men were gathered together outside the Capitol building on January 7th, you know, portraying themselves as being like neo-Nazis or something, right? There was a meme that went around at the time that basically poked fun at them because they're so obviously feds, you know. So the same thing happens on BitChute, of course. It's easy. It's easier to do that sort of thing on BitChute. I think the same thing happens with like Paul Joseph Watson. They really don't like him, right? And if you go to his Telegram channel, the comments there are just like the comments on BitChute. You know, they're full of like these neo-Nazis, anti-Semites, and so forth, you know, bottom feeders. But I'm convinced that a large portion of those people on BitChute and Paul Joseph Watson and many other places, X, et cetera, even on YouTube, they are feds doing what feds do. So, they're essentially giving a pretext for smearing the platforms because they are free speech platforms. So that's my conspiracy theory. I'm sticking to that one. That's very plausible.
It wouldn't be the first time that the feds were caught up in something like that, would it? If you go back to the 60s and 70s, J. Edgar Hoover was caught doing all sorts of nefarious things, infiltrating people just because they had different opinions, anti-war groups, even Martin Luther King Jr. So, you know, history teaches us a lesson that
government... Well, it's not just that. No good. Now, we are having to deal with basically a spy apparatus that is in our face as part of our online conversations. Ordinary people want to have, you know, good faith, you know, sometimes impolite, but good faith conversations about things. And when the feds get involved, there really should be a law against it. You know, I actually think that these sorts of operations should be illegal. I wish that somebody like Trump or who knows would actually blow the whistle, make it clear that this sort of thing has been happening. Let's just say it can be proven, but it takes time to get into. So
right. I will jump ahead a little bit because we're running out of time, and it's more of the same. I think it's all far right and smears of the same. So I'll go to let's do a bit of misinformation, shall we? So jumping down to the platform also hosts misinformation related to COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic. The conspiracy theory video pandemic has been viewed on BitChute millions of times after having been removed from other platforms for spreading medically harmful misinformation. So this is COVID-19. What a great case of where everyone was speculating at the start of that. You know, there weren't a lot of facts in the very beginning, and platforms were banning people for wanting to talk about or speculate about things such as, could the pandemic have come from a lab that just happened to be a stone's throw from where it was reported to have come from? Things like that, which, were considered crazy conspiracy theories. But not today. I think that's turned into maybe the more mainstream view today. And there were lots of things like that along the way. You know, you couldn't, on X, on Twitter at the time, you couldn't have the opinion that maybe it might be advisable to look after older people before you looked after younger people in this pandemic. You know, some people thought that was reasonable, but X was banning accounts. And actually, lots of accounts were banned during that time, and lots of accounts came to BitChute. And, you know, so there was probably misinformation. Yeah, there was misinformation coming from both sides, especially the government. We know that now. So, being a free speech platform means that you allow all sides of the argument. You're not banning things. You're not saying we're the oracle of truth and we know that that's true, that's false, and we're going to ban you if you say anything that's false. So, yeah, we were free speech through the COVID-19 pandemic, and I'm proud of that. And I think what's happening now, interestingly, is a lot of people who were banned from YouTube during COVID-19 for reasons that were considered wild, misinformation, dangerous back then, and now not so much, kind of turning out to be widely considered as true, are being reinstated. They've been given their YouTube channels back. So that's kind of vindication for us that we didn't kick them off and YouTube did, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's actually good news. And you have to wonder if there will be sufficient public backlash against the censors, especially in the UK, as a result of this. I'm not sure that might be too much to hope for, good luck there. You're not in the UK anymore, though, are you?
And you know what? They have actually updated that on our Wikipedia page, so we can see that people are still actively contributing to this, which I wasn't sure about, but it does say here, in April 2025, BitChute suspended its services from the United Kingdom. So that is actually true, and even before that, we weren't a UK company. We moved operations to the US, we moved our servers out of the UK. We're completely a US company and have been for a while. So I think that was a good move, the way things are going in the UK.
I would actually recommend then that you make an edit, maybe not you personally, but perhaps somebody associated with the company, make an edit to the info box there. It says create a country of origin, United Kingdom, but I would think, I don't know what the data field is, the name of the data field, but it's something like country of business, because this implies that it's still a UK company, but it's not. That would seem to be important to put in the info box. So I would have that updated.
Again, in my opinion, that's very sloppy because, you know, it's information that is readily available. So, but on that point, so we're coming to a close, but if I could just ask you one more question about this, because it's something I'm very interested in, because I've been told by people who have gone in and tried to correct things, add information that our page is particularly difficult to edit, that yes. it's controlled. And I don't know if it's true, but they've said it's controlled at a very high level. So someone who could edit things normally is having a lot of problems editing our page. Do you know anything about that? What might be happening, if that is even true, in your opinion?
I can confirm that I have heard about that complaint. I have heard very similar complaints with respect to many other pages. Some pages do seem to be relatively easy to edit. In others, it seems to be that you actually have to pay off some people if you want to make any changes at all. Even completely innocuous changes, they will revert them right away. And some, in some cases, they will ban you for nonsensical reasons when you approach such pages. So yeah, they're like totally off limits. And I didn't quite catch it. Are you saying that BitChute's page is one such page?
So I've not been able to confirm that. I don't. I'm not a Wikipedia editor, but that is what I've been told by people, that it's very difficult for them to make any edits, and it's being guarded by some right. editor.
So the scuttlebutt on this is that for such pages, essentially, the only way to get an edit made on a page is if you go through a PR company that specializes in editing Wikipedia. And, you know, you can find any number of companies of that sort. Some of them are fairly large and profitable. I've actually talked at conferences in the past with a couple of different CEOs of such companies, people who have gotten rich, actually, from editing Wikipedia. And it is what some such operations do, essentially, is they get enough clout within the system that they are able to make very unreasonable sorts of edits stick. I would think that they couldn't do it too much, because in the end that would be caught and punished. But it's still the case that you know, if the preponderance of your edits are harmless or beneficial, then, you know, that sort of gives you a kind of on-platform clout. So what some people do is they make a business of selling their clout, and other people then will essentially circle the wagons when a page that they are managing, even though there are not supposed to be any managers, is touched by anyone that they don't want touching it. So, yeah.
That's an awful state of affairs to hear that that's how it's working now. And when people really come to this Wikipedia platform and, you know, think that it's some sort of meritocracy where everyone can just make an edit and have an equal chance of getting it visible on the page. But yeah,
they would like you to think that that's the case. It is not the case. It does not work that way. Right. It hasn't worked that way in a long time. So,
such a shame. But yes. Anyway, Larry, I've kept you now for over an hour, but I'd like to give you the last word. Is there anything you would like to say? And maybe if I could ask you one question, what is a solution to this? What should we be doing instead of Wikipedia?
I've got a lot of ideas, actually, that I've been working on. I mean, when you get down to it, I think the most important thing is that we contribute to a culture of free content, free information. I think an important part of that in the encyclopedia space is making encyclopedia articles available on the encyclosphere. In other words, in the same way that BitTorrent is a decentralized network for content like videos, there needs to be a special decentralized network for encyclopedia articles. And I think that's it's a worthy cause. It needs a lot more support. The Knowledge Standards Foundation, which stands behind the encyclosphere, has only money to pay for me. Let's put it that way. We need a lot more. I would also say that well, let's just say I'm working on some interesting news with regard to Wikipedia itself, which will be coming out in the next month or so, and which will answer your question directly. So
that's great to hear. I'm looking forward to that news. So any last words? Want to tell anyone where they can find you?
Sure. I blog reasonably regularly at larrysanger.org. And at the top of the page there, if you look, you'll see my BitChute videos, latest BitChute videos. I need to make some more videos of my blog content, which I like doing. It's just I don't have that much time. But I have found a way to put my BitChute feed there on my blog, which I would encourage other people to do, you know, with their blogs. Anyway, on X, I am L. Sanger. So, yep. I tweet on X quite a bit. So, that's it.
Thank you so much again, Larry. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. And likewise. I hope to speak to you.
All right. Bye. Thank you.